Hey, this is Steve from Within the Ruins, and you're listening to Pommas Gobble, the podcast of power metal.
Vorab der Hinweis, diese Folge ist auf Englisch, da unser heutiger Gast aus den Staaten kommt. Bleibt aber ruhig bei uns, wenn ihr möchtet. So, welcome to our new episode of our podcast, Power Metal DE. This following interview is in English in course of our today's guest. They are from Westfield, Massachusetts. They play metalcore with much influences of thrash metal, melodic death metal with progressive elements, and they are out with their sixth studio record, which is called Blackheart. So we are very happy to present you Within the Ruins. So welcome to our show. We hope you're fine, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I'm doing great. Are you guys doing all right out there? Y'all doing good?
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
My name is Pia.
My name is Marcel.
And I'm Jacob.
So Jacob marks your new record with 8.5 points of 10 and named it to his most favorite technical metalcore deathcore record of the year. So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's super cool. Thank you.
Jacob, would you like to take over?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Marcel. Blackheart is close being released, finally. How does it feel to you?
It's pretty crazy, man, because this is my first full length with the band. I've been in for coming up on 3 years, but this is going to be my first album with the guys. And it kind of seems like it's been a long road to get here, but very worth the wait. Super excited about this. It's kind of surreal almost that this is... that it's here now. I'm really excited. This is good times right now for sure.
And I think the people that haven't heard the record yet should be excited because it's very great.
That's true. Thank you.
Did you receive any comments from the media already?
I've been keeping an eye out. I've seen two album reviews as of yesterday, but not a whole lot yet. So you guys got sent a copy of the album already. It's not every interview I've done has received it yet. So some people have only heard the singles, but there have been some that have actually heard the full thing. And I've only seen a couple reviews pop up so far, but I guess that's to be expected since we're still a week away. I've seen a couple, and everyone's going to have their small qualms with certain things here and there, but overall, I think it seems to be pretty favorable for most people, the stuff that I've seen anyway so far.
Yeah, and your music is kind of complicated, so not everybody.
Yeah.
Likes it. Some people just like easy listening, and I think Blackheart is far from,
yeah,
from easy listening.
Yeah, it can be. I totally get it. It can be like a sensory overload kind of for some people. I get it, and no offense taken. If you're not into it, I totally get it.
And can you tell us how long the recording process took, and has COVID-19 affected it?
It took close to 2 years. After I joined the band, we put out two singles just so we could, with me on them, so we could kind of give everybody an idea of what I sound like. Those songs were World Undone and Resurgence, but those have been out for a little while. Technically, before I joined the band, those songs were going to be part of the record, but then when I joined, the label was like, we need to get a song out with Steve, and so we ended up having two that were ready to go. So we put those out, and then kind of like officially after that, the writing started. So it's been around almost 2 years between writing and recording, because Joe and our drummer are out in Massachusetts, but Paolo and myself live in San Antonio, Texas. So we're actually kind of halfway across the country from each other. So Joe doesn't just bust out songs really quick or anything. So he takes his time and really gets things how he wants them. He's picky in a good way. And so he'll write the whole song out and program some drums so you can get an idea of what it sounds like as a whole. And then he'll put it into Dropbox. And then we'll just take our time listening to it on our end. And probably like two or three songs at a time, we'll fly out to the studio. Joe has his own studio along with a brewery that he owns with his brother. They're in the same building. So it's actually like the perfect setup. So every time we would fly out to record.
Great, yes.
Yeah, we'd fly out to do studio stuff, like get like two or three songs done in a week, and then me and Paolo would fly back home for a couple months. And so we did that process like four or five times, and so that in itself kind of made it a little bit longer for us to get everything finalized. But that was kind of the gist of how we got it done. But luckily, we finished the recording process before everything got locked down and COVID became a thing. So by the time quarantine started, we were already getting started mixing and mastering everything. So we kind of, for the most part, got to just be at home and listen to stuff as it got sent back. We only had to fly out one time during all this to shoot the music videos a couple months ago. But it was a very strict process. We had to get tested before we left, and we had to wear masks in the airport nonstop and while you're on the plane. And so, but luckily nothing COVID really affected us for the actual writing or recording or anything. We got that done just in time. So kind of lucked out.
Yeah, that's cool. And we have, as you said, luckily we have two videos already. That's great.
Yeah. Did you watch any reaction videos to your music videos?
Yeah, I've watched them. And I think I pay attention maybe more than like Joe or drummer does, because, you know, they've done this multiple times now and they're probably kind of used to it. I'm still very much like excited and I want to know what's going on. I've dialed it back a little bit since the first single came out, but I do keep an eye out to see if there's anything new popping up, and just to see what the reactions are. I mean, I'm kind of naturally going to be curious about it since I'm the new guy. So there's going to be comments here and there that I'm just curious. You know, we tried to do a little bit of everything for everybody, and I wanted to make sure that what I did still fit the music and wasn't super different from the band I was in previously. So I'm going to be curious about what people are saying, you know, but I've dialed it back a little bit, but I do take a peek every once in a while.
Yeah. And as you said, the album introduces you as a new singer, and I think, in my opinion, you are on the edge of metalcore and deathcore, and you fit perfectly to the music. How have they found you, or have you found them, and has there been auditions?
Our bassist, Paolo, was in a band with me previously here in Texas. We were called Silence the Messenger, and he probably joined the band a little before we actually met within the Ruins, around 2009. The band's first full-length Creature had come out, and they were touring off of it, and so they were playing shows all over the place, and we were just a local band at the time, and we hopped on one of the shows, and I was actually sitting in my car doing my vocal warm-ups, and Tim knocked on my window. He's like, "Hey, is that Melissa Cross? Is that the Zen of Screaming?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, I do that too." So he's like, "Y'all are up next, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." So he came and checked out our set, and our bands have been friends ever since. So probably around 2015, they needed their bass player at the time had to bow out, and so they asked Paolo if he could fill in on bass. He was playing guitar in our old band at the time, but they asked if he could play bass. And so he ended up doing that for an All-Stars tour here in the States, and he ended up staying. Silence the Messenger broke up, and then I was kind of sitting around for a couple of years. And then about, halfway through a big U.S. headliner, it was like a five-week run, 5.5 weeks, I think. About halfway through, Tim had to go to the hospital, and he had to fly home for some medical issues. And so they were like, "Oh, no, what are we going to do?" And Paolo was just like, "Well, Steve's just sitting at home." And Joe was like, "Oh, yeah, why didn't I think of that?" So Joe called me up, and I ended up filling in for the last half of that U.S. headliner. And then the year ended, it's kind of turning into spring, and then they were just like, "Well, we're kind of at a point where we think that we want to make the switch and bring you on board full time if you want to do it." And I was thinking about it for a little while, just kind of contemplating if I wanted to get back into being a band. I thought, like, I was getting comfortable with the idea that maybe I was done, and that was fine. But I was a little hesitant at first, but looking back on it now, I would have, if I had turned it down, I would have done it for completely horrible reasons, and I'm obviously really glad that I did. So yeah, it was like kind of little steps at a time. We just became friends a long time ago, and then eventually, you know, they needed a guy, and here I am.
That's great. Okay, thanks a lot for the story. Yeah, great. And earlier you mentioned that you warmed up your vocals, so I imagine that you learned singing extreme metal professionally. Is that right?
Sort of. I was actually, I mean, not at first, and I'm, you know, I would probably use the term professionally, you know, loosely, but I mean, I, like, when I was a kid, I would listen to, you know, a lot of bands like Linkin Park and Korn and Slipknot, all the new metal stuff, and what I would do is I would, in my parents' basement at the time, I would just put the CDs on, and I would scream to them and sing along, like, really loudly, and just try and mimic those guys and sound like them and stuff. So in a way, I was kind of teaching myself how to, I wasn't good at it, but you know, I was a teenager, so I was just learning and stuff. So I was kind of just teaching myself how to scream and sing and match notes and that kind of thing. And I played the violin and stuff, so I was already, you know, familiar with notes and hitting how things should sound. So I was trying to match it the best that I could. And then through high school, I just played a couple different instruments and eventually started singing in bands. And then once I joined Silence the Messenger, I was originally the bass player, but then we kicked out our singer and then they asked me to do it. And our guitar player was like, hey, you should do the Zen of Screaming. You should do the Melissa Cross stuff. And it, you know, significantly improved what I was doing. It didn't really change too much of how I sounded, but it helped me breathe better and it helped me not, you know, lose my voice or push too hard, that kind of thing. So I'm not the best, well-trained vocalist, you know, or anything, but I always recommend that to people if they ever ask, you know, if there's anything special that I do, you know, so I'm not just up there screaming my head off.
Yeah. Okay. That's the healthy thing to do, I think.
Yes. I mean, if you know, you want to have some longevity, I think you need to make sure you're taking care of your voice, you know, so I do what I can.
And do you also sing some clean vocals on the album, or is this all done by your bass player?
It's all done by Paolo. He does all of the clean singing. Like, I know how to, obviously, like I said earlier, you know, I like singing. I enjoy it. I do it in my car sometimes and stuff too. But when it comes to this, I almost prefer that it's Paolo, and he loves doing it too. Paolo's a really well-rounded musician. He plays guitar and bass. He does some acoustic stuff. He plays the piano. He knows how to sing well. So actually, I'm very okay with Paolo taking the reins on doing all the cleans. So like, I'll have my input, or I can help him build melodies and stuff or harmonies in the studio. But when it comes down to it, I'm happy that he's the one actually doing that. So it's all him.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. And how was it working with the band in this studio? Did you already contribute creatively yourself to the album?
To the extent that I could. Yeah. Because I mean, Joe's kind of like the big mastermind, obviously. It's, you know, he's the big songwriter and stuff. So we'll have like little ideas while we're, you know, while he's sending tracks over through the Dropbox. But for the most part, all the actual songs and structures and everything, that's all him. But he did, he let me do what I wanted to do as far as the lyrics and stuff go. He's not overbearing or anything with how he wants stuff done. So he kind of just let me do what I wanted to do and bring it to the studio. And he was just, you know, constantly happy with what I was bringing to the table. And so, we would just change like some minor pattern things here and there. But overall, I mean, so he let me have my creativity as far as a vocalist goes and the lyrics, but a big chunk of all the songs is all Joe. You know, we have small input in the studio sometimes or whatever, like an idea will pop into our heads, but a lot of it's Joe. So I'm going to give him a ton of the credit.
If we are looking at the album, there's a very interesting cover artwork. Can you tell us firstly, who did the artwork?
It's so it was a guy who's actually done some work with us before. He's done the art for Elite and for Phenomena, and he did the art for the two singles that we dropped for World Undone and Resurgence. He's a guy named Cameron Gray. He's worked with other bands too, like Born of Osiris and some other ones.
I just wanted to say, well-known artist to me at least.
Yeah. I was a big fan of his, admiring his stuff like before I was even in the band. He does incredible work, and so he was basically the first and only name that we tossed out when we were trying to figure out what the art idea was going to be. Like once we figured out what we wanted, and then the next question was, well, who are we going to go with? And immediately we're all just like, let's just have Cameron do it. And we gave him our basic ideas and he just knocked it out of the park. I will always, always give high praise to Cameron for doing such a great job for us.
Mm. For you listeners out there, if you look at your smartphone now or wherever you listen to this podcast, just take a look at your smartphone or at the web player, and there you can see the cover artwork of the album. You just said you had an idea what should be on the cover, and to me it looks like there is a figure or something, and there are also a lot of skulls. Is this figure that we can see there a kind of harvester, or what's the idea behind the cover artwork?
No, not necessarily. He's actually more of like a in a way like a representation of me, and a lot of the songs are actually very personal, and they're about things that I've gone through over the past few years. So it's actually kind of a representation of me, but also he's very just like a plain figure. So it's not supposed to literally be me. I mean, that's how I'm perceiving it, but take it as it can, you know, that can be whoever is going through similar things. That could be you as well. The cage on his head is representative of kind of being trapped in your own thoughts and not being. So that's what that's about. And then if you look closely at one of his hands, he's dropping a key, and there's a couple more down by his feet. Those keys are metaphors for the multiple attempts to unlock the cage and get out of the situations that you're in. Like when you're feeling stuck, it's about trying over and over and doing whatever you can. So that's kind of him just working through his issues. And then the skulls are actually kind of in a dark way representative of people that have also gone through the same thing. So it might look at kind of like a first glance like he's alone, you know, right, sitting there, and you might feel like that sometimes, but the skulls are actually, at least to me, they kind of come off as people that have gone through the same thing. So he's also kind of not alone in the same sense. That's what the skulls are. Those are other people. And if you look even closer, there's a couple snakes that are slithering around for a lyric in Deliverance about you know, people being, you know, certain people, whether they're in your personal life or maybe in the media or in politics or just around you in some way. Take it how you want, but those snakes are the, you know, the shady people that are willing to, you know, stab you in the back, and you don't really see them coming as they're, you know, slithering through the grass. But you know, when they strike, they strike, and that's what those snakes are. So everything on the cover is actually all intertwined with or metaphors for a lot of the lyrical concepts in the songs, is what that is. And so we actually took it one step further, and then, you know, because we wanted the artwork to represent the songs, not just be some random piece, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, even if it is Cameron Gray, it can look really cool, but what does it actually have to do with the music? We made the art that way, and then we took it, like I said, one step further, and then started incorporating some of that stuff into the music videos. So the music videos have little bits that are related to the album artwork also. So it's all very thought out.
Yeah, interesting. I'll take a further look at the album cover once we are done recording.
I don't know if I was speaking about stuff that you hadn't looked at yet, but it's take a look at all those things. It's actually, like I said, that's why I thought Cameron really knocked it out of the park. He did a great job with that.
Mm. How do you feel at the moment? Did you find the key for your cage?
I like to think that I have, yeah. Doing the album the way that we did was really, really painful in a way. I mean, just because I'm revisiting a lot of the stuff that I had been going through. But it was you know, as an artist and even people just listening to music, you know, that's your release, you know, that's what helps get you through. And I'm always going to be grateful even down the line for the guys in the band giving me this platform and this space to work with to get these things off my chest and say what I needed to say and kind of clear my own head. And I'm in a much better place than I was, you know, a few years ago. And so I definitely would say that I found my key. Basically, anything, with the exception of probably one of the songs, I've found the key. I would say, yeah, things are a lot better than they used to be.
It's a kind of catharsis, right? That you just have to go through this painful stage of life, and then you feel a lot better after that.
Yeah, especially when you get the, you know, and like I said, I'm always going to be grateful that I have an opportunity to write these songs and record them, and then, you know, whenever it's going to be, play them live, you know, and bring them to life, you know. So I'm always going to be grateful to the guys for bringing me on board and letting me do this and write the album the way that I felt like I really needed to. It worked out great too, because once we started writing it after the first couple vocal sessions, Joe was getting an idea of where I was coming from, and he actually kind of altered the way he was writing the songs a little bit. He started writing them a little bit darker and more aggressive because of what I was saying. And then he kind of realized that he personally and some of the guys had their own issues that they were kind of angry about over some time. And it all kind of worked out. We all realized, like, you know, this is just going to be a really dark, aggressive, angry Within the Ruins album. And it worked out perfectly. So it's kind of on a different level than anything the band's done before, but in a cool way. So it, like I said, it all kind of worked out.
If you just look at the lyrics to your two singles, Black Heart and Deliverance, in my opinion, they are dealing with personal themes like standing to oneself, self-respect, and personal growth. So this makes very much sense now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I think with the exception of maybe one or two songs, they're all kind of related in one way or another. So I didn't want to, at least for this album, I don't know what the next one's going to be like. I hope I don't have to write an album like this again. I hope I can write something totally different for the next one, but who knows? They're all kind of related in a way, and they're all either angry about a scenario in my personal life or something that's related to Black Heart itself, like maybe you're dealing with the aftermath of the situation. And realizing how you've kind of changed. Maybe it's not even necessarily for the better, but you have. I didn't want to write a bunch of random songs. I liked the idea that they were all pretty much connected.
With Deliverance, I think you deliver one of the strongest songs in the band's discography. And can you tell us what's the story behind this special song?
The snakes that I was talking about on the album cover, those are from a lyric in that song. So the lyric is just like the snakes in the grass, tongues forked in two, every last one of them, tongues forked in two. So I'm referring to the sneaky snake type people in your life that are just willing to, stab you in the back. And it's, like I said, kind of a personal situation, but it's very, very much tied into Black Heart. And the way it kind of slowly, I kind of hint at it through the song, where I say there's only one way out, and you can kind of interpret this however you'd like. I left it open-ended in a way. I know what it means to me, but I left it vague on purpose so you can apply it to your own life if you want. There are just those people that are like that, and there's not really much you can do. Some people just are that way, and they're going to be that way until they die. I'm not saying kill those people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that you kind of sometimes, depending on who it is, whether it be, like I said, a politician or something, or a religious leader, or just somebody in your friends or family circle, like that you just have to let go of instead of, dealing with it like for an extended period of time. Sometimes it's just, let it go, and, they'll be gone eventually, I guess, I wasn't going to advocate for killing anyone, but I was trying to get across that, some people are just like this, and you just kind of have to wait until they're gone, essentially. That's more or less what Deliverance is about.
If we are looking now a little bit musically on the album, Black Heart once again features some, in my opinion, phenomenal guitar work, including neoclassical licks and heavy riffing. Do you know the musical background of Joe?
More or less, yeah. He's a pretty self-taught guy. I mean, he knows like a little bit of theory and stuff, but he's not, he hasn't done a lot of studying and taken a bunch of lessons, and he's a lot more of a self-taught kind of guy. He's not like a classically trained guitarist or anything like that.
So we're talking about lots of talent.
he just has a natural feel for it. He just gets it, and it just comes out that way. I don't know if he could write very much different if he wanted to. That's just the way his brain works. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I listened to the guitar solo in the opener Domination very closely, and I think it features a part of a guitar lick from Metallica's song One. Is this correct?
This is correct, yeah.
Is this a tribute to the band?
Cool.
It is. I think it's super cool you noticed that, yeah. Joe's a giant Metallica fan. It's definitely his favorite band. He took that solo and kind of, he tweaked it a little bit, so he's not directly ripping it off, but it's his...
No.
Yeah, it's his tip of the hat to Metallica, and kind of that's his favorite band. He loves them, and we listen to all types of metal, all the subgenres and whatnot. But that's one of his bands that he found growing up and just made a giant impact on him. So he wanted to sneak that in, and it's one of a few things that we all kind of did. Like he has a couple things on the album that are little things that he snuck in just for fun. Like that. I did some things with the either vocal patterns or lyrics, little Easter eggs almost, you could say. there are little things like that that we took our time to kind of put in for fun and seeing if anybody noticed. So very cool. Yeah. Thanks for noticing that he did that on purpose. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask, because in 86, there is a part that sounds like the Pink Panther theme music.
Correct.
And to me, it seems as if there are also, I don't know if it's from TV series, but it also sounds like theme music of some other stuff.
Oh, no, he's also got, which song is it? I want to say, off the top of my head, of course, I'm drawing a blank. I want to say it's in Hollow, maybe, or Open Wounds, one of those two. He put another version of Tetris, the Tetris theme song, in there a little bit.
Oh, wow. I have to listen to that again. I love Tetris.
yeah, it's in there. It's one of those two. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. We were going back and forth originally of either one of those being the first single before Deliverance, and so I can't remember which one he put that in. Super cool of you guys to notice. Yeah, I appreciate that. I can tell you actually listened to it.
So there are a lot of more Easter eggs to discover. That's good to know.
Yeah, there's other stuff to listen for. Like I said, he did a few of those. I did some stuff vocally. Like it's kind of fun that there's like layers to the whole thing.
And I've read some fan comments. They are calling Within the Ruins sometimes Nintendo Core.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
This is maybe the reason why he put Tetris on it.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, Joe loves old video games. I do too. It's kind of just fun. I've heard him say on an interview before when we were doing some of the press originally. He said, yeah, and I threw in like Tetris theme just real quick. He's like, I just like to fuck with people and have a good time. So as talented as he is, he doesn't take himself too seriously. So it's
that's
still
a good
old
thing.
Yeah, as dark and serious as the record is, it's still fun. It's still fun. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I can underline that. As I'm a musician by myself, I'm asking myself, if you jam your songs like most bands do, or how is the songwriting process working in the band? Can you elaborate the songwriting process for us a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely do. You know, I think kind of it might sound a little bit vain or something, but in a way you want to be able to jam your own stuff, because if you wouldn't listen to it, you know, why should anybody else, you know? When we're writing stuff, like I said, Joe will kind of put, you know, he'll write everything out in his studio, program some drums to it so you can hear the song as a whole, and then he puts it in the Dropbox, and then I'll sit down like on a night and pick which one I'm going to work with, and which I usually will have a bunch of lyrics in my phone, and I'll pick which one I think works with the song that I chose to write to. I'll think, okay, these lyrics or fit this vibe of the song. And I'll kind of just take a night, and I like to do it at night when it's just kind of darker and I can be more secluded. I'll usually have some whiskey when I write, and I'll hammer out a song, you know, not to get like super drunk or anything, but like, you know, once I kind of start getting a buzz and stuff, and it helps me dive in a little bit more and take more creative risks, I think. I'll write it all out on a piece of paper. You know, I'll play the song over and over, and then I'll just fast forward and rewind to different sections and make sure I've got it how I want it. And then once I knock out like two or three of those, like I said, Paolo and I will just fly out to the studio, and it will take about a week to record those. And then we just did that process like four or five times. So in the meantime, while we're waiting to fly out to do more songs, we're usually jamming those few that we did, and which we kind of got to do each time, and that, like, so we did have extra time because Pal and I had to travel out there, but it gave us time to sit down and listen to them, so and pick apart things that we liked or didn't like or wanted to add, and, you know, little bells and whistles, cool stuff, that kind of thing. It gave us time to do that, so yeah, I mean, we jam them, and then, like, once everything's done, you're kind of, you know, you're listening to the final mixes and stuff, and at some point you do get tired of listening to it because you've, you know, heard the song over and over in the studio, and then you're listening to the versions of it that come out, and then you have to listen for specific details, and you might get, you know, burnt out of your own stuff for a little bit, but you know, take a break from it a little while, come back, and then you start jamming it again. Like when the first two singles were coming out, those were like the only songs that I had been listening to, because I had started to check out all the reaction videos and things like that. So I hadn't given the rest of the album a listen to in a minute, and I actually kind of did for the first time a couple nights ago. I still got great feelings about it. So I'm, you know, yeah, we'll definitely jam our own stuff. Joe will text every once in a while in the group text and be like, man, I just listened to this song in the truck, and that one part hits so hard, or like this part's like so good. Or I mean, yeah, we are going to listen to our own stuff at least for a little while.
And right now there's a collaboration on your Facebook page with the Tinbridge Brewing. Maybe because of the brewery you mentioned earlier, right?
Yeah, that's Joe's brewery is Tinbridge. Yeah. You know, he's had it for a while, and I think there were talks about doing it on the last record for Halfway Human, but nothing ever happened. But it only makes sense, you know, like you own your own brewery, you know, like there are plenty of bands that like have an idea for a beer and they, you know, source it out to some other brewery and have them make it and then slap their label on it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's still super cool. Like, I think more bands should do it. You know, like Behemoth does it. August Burns Red's done it. Lamb of God's done like the non-alcoholic beer. Like, it's all cool. But like, we have a guy that has his own brewery, so why wouldn't you do it? It was a cool idea. I'm stoked that we were able to pull that off.
Yeah, nice idea. We are going back a little bit. The last album was called Halfway Human. From your point of view, what are the main musical differences between Blackheart and Halfway Human?
I mean, obviously me, because that was the last album that had Tim on it. You know, I'm the big one. Kind of like I said earlier about when Joe was hearing what I was doing in the studio, he was changing his writing style, like not his style a little bit, but just taking what he had in mind and just making, like I said, making it darker and more aggressive. And I think it's definitely taking what Halfway Human tried to do with some of the experimental stuff and the clean singing. We took what Paolo was doing with the clean singing and kind of just pushed it a little bit further. Had him like belt out some stuff a little bit harder. And if you listen to the clean singing on Halfway Human versus Blackheart, he's got a little bit more grit in his voice, a little bit more oomph, you know. So we're still messing around with that and, you know, pushing the boundaries of what he can do, what we think sounds good. Some of those and the song structures are very similar on a couple of the tracks. Like, a big difference would be, I think it went back to some of the old school stuff that the band was writing around the Creature and Invade days. So it was a lot more faster picking stuff, like a lot more aggression, which, you know, the Halfway Human was still heavy and is like a catchy, groovy album. But this one, we went back to some of the classic stuff that fans always like hearing. So we ended up walking this fine line of still experimenting with new stuff like on Halfway Human, but then writing older style within the Ruins tracks. So it takes parts that we liked about Halfway Human, and then we just took some old stuff and kind of just threw it in a blender and put a new singer in there. So,
yeah, okay, yeah. I hear it the same way. I think it's, as you said, a little bit the classical stuff from Within the Ruins, more like Elite or Phenomena. I like it very much. So we're getting close to the end of our podcast. Close. Yeah, tell us if you want, what's your favorite song at the moment and why do you choose that song?
It's a band called Currents.
Oh, I know them. I love them.
Yeah, me too. We not this past summer, but the one before it. Oh, no, they were on that headliner that I filled in on when I hopped on like halfway through. They were the opening band on that tour, and that was how I even found out about them. It bummed me out because I liked them. They were cool, but I was so busy trying to learn the lyrics, I didn't really have time to catch their set many nights. And by the time the tour was over, I actually got a chance to listen to the music a lot. And then I was like, man, this band is awesome. I wish I could have actually paid more attention. So their newest album is one of my like favorite ones, just because I love it. I love it front to back. It's if you guys haven't heard it yet, it's called The Way It Ends. The track that I like is called How I Fall Apart. That's one of my favorite songs on the album.
The album is awesome, and it could be my album of the year. Maybe, I'm not sure about that yet, because
I said the same thing. I said the same thing.
A lot of cool albums have been put out this year. And Jakob and I saw them past year when they were the opening act for August Burns Red when they played in Hamburg.
Oh, wow.
I also think their singer is really good, and he can do both the extreme vocals and also the clean vocals.
Yeah, Brian's great. He's just a great guy. I love that guy. It was his birthday recently, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, he's great. He nails it live. He's reached out a little bit more from this album from the previous one. I love every chorus on that album, gets stuck in my head all the time, but I love how they're simple but catchy at the same time. They're all in this like minor key. There's something about it that he just, something in his voice, the way it's beautiful but like sad, you know, aggressive at the same time. There's so much going on with what he does and how the songs were written by the rest of the guys. Brian's great. All those guys are great. Yeah, big shout out to Currents. If you guys haven't checked out that latest record from them, I know we're here to talk about my record, but you know, you make friends and you want to support other bands' music and stuff too. It's, you know, it's not all about your band. So check out Currents if you haven't done that yet. That's a shout out I'll throw for sure.
My favorite song at the moment is by a band. I think they're also from the US. They're called Falling in Reverse.
Oh yeah.
It's not the music that I normally listen to because I would describe them as alternative rock. They're not so heavy, not so many extreme vocals also. But the song that I like a lot at the moment is Popular Monster. I think they put it out by the end of 2019, right?
I've never met Ronnie personally, but I think that track is pretty sick. I know he's got a lot of stuff in the media, like things, you know, in his past and whatnot. But like I said, I've never met him, so I just... all I can really speak to is the music, but I think that guy's on a musical level actually like super talented. He can sing really well. He's got a cool screaming voice. His lyrics are entertaining. I love that track too. So,
And there are a lot of cool rap parts in that song too. So he does a lot of vocal styles, especially in this song that I like a lot.
He does. Yeah.
And the video is so cool.
Oh yeah. The video is really cool. And I've, you know, after doing the music videos for our stuff, I was just like, you know, you kind of get an idea of what, how much certain things cost in music videos, and the budgets for some of that stuff was pretty sick.
Marcel, what's your favorite song at the moment?
It's a difficult choice, but I would say it's Fear Factory with Archetype.
Nice.
Oh wow, Fear Factory.
Yes, I'm Jacob and I were very huge Fear Factory fans with Burton C. Bell on the vocals, and I like this text, look into my eyes and tell me what you see. I think it's very, very deep. And so it was the first Fear Factory song I've ever heard in my life. And so, yes, it's my favorite.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool choice.
I have to say, in the last podcast, Deliverance was my best, my favorite song at the moment.
Oh, wow. Thanks, man. It can change. It doesn't have to stay there. You don't have to say it because I'm on here. I appreciate you mentioning it, though.
And I think right now, as I was looking at the similarity between Domination and One, I heard One for the first time in a very long time. So right now, oh, yeah. I would say it is One.
Oh. You're welcome.
Thanks.
That's cool. Yeah, I can't go wrong, man. Metallica's classic.
And what are the future plans for Within the Ruins right now? Waiting until COVID-19 is done and go on tour, I imagine?
Yeah, whenever that's going to be. I mean, nobody really knows. I've seen talk recently about it being as early as summer, but I to me that's like a best case scenario. I don't know that that's going to happen for sure. I don't really know for sure. I feel like there's even a decent chance we might, you know, do overseas stuff before we are able to do anything here in the States. But I mean, yeah, that's the idea. And you know, I know bands are like, certain bands are waiting to put out their albums until they can tour, and some bands are just saying like, whatever, let's just put it out. So we were just like, let's put it out anyways, and we'll figure out the touring when it's time. For now, we're gonna work on a live stream show, so we'll at least have that. Should actually be flying out in a couple weeks, maybe. I gotta double check. Don't quote me on that. For now, it just seems like that's gonna be the future for most bands, and you know, until all this gets figured out, is the streaming stuff or just doing more internet based things. And just releasing more content. There's one more music video for a track called Devil in Me that's going to come out the same day as the album. Keep an eye out for that. That was a lot of fun to do. If there's any opportunities to do anything, we'll do our best to do them. But I think we're looking more short-term goals right now. But the long-term goal is, we'll just wait until we can get back out and finally play some shows again. Because I know we're not the only band that's itching to do some stuff. So we're hoping it comes back sooner than later, but we just got to be patient.
I think the live stream stuff is the best thing that you can do at the moment because, you can do at least something. You can play a live show. Fans can see or can listen to the new stuff when it's played live. So, that's a cool thing to do, I think.
Yeah, and I think there might even be, and this is just me speaking personally, I think there might even be a place for live stream stuff like that, kind of to be a staple for bands to do anyways down the road, if they're, don't have any tours lined up or anything, but they still want to do something. I think, the music industry has always had to be creative and adjust and, as times change. So we're doing the same thing now. So I think if anything, this might have turned into a new concept for bands to take advantage of, and interact with their fans if they don't have any tours lined up for a little while, but still want to do something. That's just me thinking out loud, but I think it could be a thing. It could turn into a thing, even if you're not doing live shows. The streaming thing might be just part of the future of being in a band. So maybe, who knows?
Sure. I have a last question that steps a bit aside of music. We are at the end of November 2020 now, and you just had the elections of the president of the United States. And from the European position, it was a bit tricky to this elections this time. So how's the situation in the US right now? Did people calm down a bit?
It's calming down, but I think it's because I think people are starting to realize that it is over. A few days after it happened, things were still leaning towards Biden, but there were still people that are just like, it's rigged, and there's we're going to recount this and blah, blah, blah. And people just saying a bunch of stuff, but it's been a couple of weeks now and it's starting to die out. Like I said, I live in Texas. So there are guys with trucks all over the place and they have giant, what you see on, you might've seen some of them on TV or videos on the internet with, giant Trump flags and stuff on the back of their truck. I see those all over the place. It's not an exaggeration. Those people exist. But I have seen a lot of those actually come down. I was driving through a neighborhood the other day and there were still some Trump signs in a couple people's yards, but it's surprising to me that some people are holding on as hard as they are, but to answer your question, it's dying down. It's just still being met with a little bit of resistance here and there, but I think we're on our way out of dealing with this now, finally.
Oh yeah, thank you. That's good to know.
Yeah, if I can provide any insight, I'll try and help. I pay attention as much as I can because it's obviously a big deal and it does involve the rest of the world and. Without getting too deep into it, it's been a big deal and it's been super frustrating.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for your donated time. And so I just want to thank you for hearing us. And so, yes, we hope you're fine.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. I appreciate y'all taking the time to listen to the album and give me your thoughts on it. I had a blast with y'all.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks a lot. And also thanks to the listeners out there and hear you in a few days, weeks, whatever, whenever you want to listen to us. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Ciao.
Bye.